We hear again a few of the verses from the appointed Gospel of Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And then Jesus says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and tax collector." In the name of Jesus. To be as a child before the Lord. A child, lowly, unable to provide for self, dependent. To stand before the Lord in childlike need. This is to be great in the kingdom of heaven. The man who puts himself forth as the great leader of the church, maybe the great motivator of Christians, the visionary constructing programs and edifices for the church, the coach assembling great teams of Christians to change the world, we will hear none of that kind of talk from Jesus. Matthew 18:2, calling to him a child, Jesus put him in the midst of the disciples and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." A child in the midst of strong men, men who could fend for themselves. One, a bureaucrat with government power to collect taxes. Others, fishermen who ran their own businesses. Another, seemingly a revolutionary politician. All of them called to be Jesus' disciples, and now all of them able to stand on their own. And in their midst, Jesus places a little child, needy, dependent, vulnerable. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, says Jesus. To stand before the Lord then as a child, to stand as one only to be given to stand before him, not with hands clenched and fist held high to show strength and defiance, nor hands held out flat maybe to keep at a distance, not even hands to give the firm handshake indicating confidence, but with hands cupped as a child's to receive gifts. To stand before the Lord as one only to be given to, this is to be great in the kingdom of heaven. To show how this works then in the church, Jesus gives two illustrations. The first, a man with 100 sheep, one is lost. The man leaves the 99 to search out the stray. That stray sheep is the one he's concentrated on until found. Finding it, it's rejoicing. Matthew 18:13. When he finds the lost sheep, said Jesus, "Truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." The lost sheep is as a child, the little one whom the Father does not want to perish. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven, it's the child, it's the lost sheep. Jesus gives us to see the lost sheep as the one in need, the lost Christian, dependent and vulnerable, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. After the lost sheep, Jesus gives another picture, and this one shocks. It's your brother who sins against you. Now it gets hard. Are we to see the fellow Christian who has sinned against us as the needy one, the one who is dependent like a little child, like a lost sheep, the one to whom the Lord wants to give gifts. For the one who despises the child receiving gifts from Jesus, it would be better, Jesus says, to have a millstone tied around the neck and be thrown into the sea. We are given to see the weak one as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We are to see the lost sheep, vulnerable and unable to help self, as the greatest in the kingdom, over whom the Father rejoices at the return. Your brother, then, who sins against you, what is the Father's will for him? The Father's will is for the sinner to be restored, for the sinner to be given gifts, for him to receive grace and mercy from the Lord, as a child holding out hands to receive gifts from his Father. How far will the Father go to give gifts to the one who has sinned against you? Matthew 18:14. Jesus said, "It is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and tax collector." To the one who has sinned against us, the Father will give the gift of restoration by first giving us to go to him and speak to him the desire of the Lord for the gift of forgiveness. And now we can step back for just a moment and look at how these verses are sometimes labeled. These verses of Matthew 18:15-18, we hear them sometimes labeled as church discipline. They are sometimes put forth as a rule book for how to straighten out the one who has sinned. And if they don't follow the rules, then we have to kick them out of the church. And that is one way of reading it. It's the law way of reading it. The way of reading it where we don't really need the cross. For what we end up doing is making sure that the sinner has followed the rules of repentance correctly. But in these verses, Jesus is doing something more startling than that. He's showing us what it means to treat the sinner as a child in need of gifts from the Father. He's teaching the church what it means to see the sinner not as someone to straighten out with only the coercion of the law, but as someone to search out, as a shepherd searches for a lost lamb, for the purpose of return, of restoration, of mercy and grace. So Jesus begins verse 14, not with something such as, "And now let me tell you about church discipline," or "Listen to my instructions on how to keep the church clean." Rather, he begins with, "It is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone." Matthew 18:14. Why are you going to your brother to tell him his fault? In order to treat him with the kindness with which you would treat a little child whom the Father in heaven does not want to perish. If your brother is unable to hear the kindness of the gospel of forgiveness from your lips, then what should you do to help this one who does need gifts from the Father? Take one or two others with you, says Jesus, that the charge may be established. But, by the way, in our translation before us, it says that every charge may be established. But that's not the way the Greek reads. In the Greek, Jesus says, take one or two others along with you, that every word may be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. So what are these words that Jesus wants established? They are the words that Jesus has already given. The words of God the Father, not wanting even the littlest child to perish, Matthew 18:14. The words of Jesus saying, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 18:14. They are the words of a shepherd rescuing the strayed sheep so that upon the return of that sheep, the Father in heaven rejoices. When you go to your brother, if he doesn't listen to the kindness of the gospel from your mouth, don't give up, Jesus would be saying. Your lost brother is worth more than that to your father. Take one or two others with you, that from their mouths, the lost one will hear the testimony of the gospel of the Father, who desires no one to perish. And if one who has sinned doesn't listen to the testimony of the mouths of the one or two others, take it, Jesus says, to the church. Let the whole church be concerned with the well-being, the salvation of the one who is the least. Let the whole church give testimony of the Father who desires no child to perish, who desires no sheep to be lost, who takes the most needy sinner, the sinner with arms open to receive mercy, and names that one as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If the sinner won't listen to the testimony of forgiveness, if the sinner insists on remaining outside the gift of repentance, if the sinner demands to justify himself by his own excuses or works, if the grace of the gospel is refused and not heard from fellow Christians nor even from the church, then, says Jesus, let him be to you as a Gentile and tax collector. For by refusing the gospel, by rejecting the grace of Jesus, by insisting on self-justification, the sinner is excluding himself from the church. But that is never the desire of Jesus for the sinner. Not the desire of Jesus for you and me and our children. Jesus' desire is to gather the sinner to himself as a father gathering a little child. To gather the sinner to himself as a shepherd searching out a lost sheep. Jesus' desire is to bestow gifts upon the sinner, to forgive the sinner, to make us his own. In the name of Jesus, amen.